I'm thankful to be here this evening to Saints in Louisiana. I appreciate all the prayers that you all have prayed for me and the many good things the Lord has done for me. I just couldn't thank Him enough for everything that He has done to help us out. The Lord has been speaking to me on our trip down here and brought back some of His Word to me that I'd like to share with you this evening. Maybe I could write this on the board. Kind of a different thought, but the Lord brought this to my mind some time ago that I'd like to share with you this evening about worldwide conclusions. God's taking samples of every part of the world, every place. He let me know that there's angels that are constantly monitoring the world's conditions. He's sampling people from Asia, Africa, Europe, North and South America, all over the world. He's taking samples and drawing conclusions from those samples. And I believe it behooves us this evening to be ready to meet the Lord. I believe that He is those samples that's coming back to Him, and He's testing every one of them. What's it like over there? What'd you find? I want to report. And I believe there's enough information that's being received back into heaven, and God is looking down. And He said, I thought so. I thought so. This is just what I'm receiving, and I'm hearing the cries from all over the world. And I'm hearing the groanings that is going on and everything that is happening. I have a definition here. We'd like to look at the word corrupt. It means decay that is causatively to ruin, literally or figuratively. To lose, mar, perish, utterly waste. And I think about the verse here in Genesis, and that's where I want to start this evening, the 6th chapter and the 11th verse. After the beautiful creation, there was man's sin and what it did and what it has caused, and the chaos and the grief and heartache that it has brought. It says in the 11th verse of the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted His way upon the earth. Quite a sobering thought this evening. Think about the conclusions that God is making now and what is on His mind, what is on His thoughts as He takes and sums up everything that's going on as He sees and looks about the world. He's seeing that we are getting ripe. That we are ripe. We're ready for something great to happen again. We call it the second appearing, the final appearing of the Lord. The end of all things is nigh at hand. I was thinking about when I was wasn't saved very long, and I believe it was in 1975, not too long after I'd gotten saved, I was coming home from church one night, and the Lord spoke to my heart. And I felt a heaviness before He spoke, and I remember so clearly, just like it was yesterday, how that as I got home, I went to my bedroom, and I got my Bible, and I was on the side of the bed, and the Lord spoke in such clear words to me that I'll never forget it. Luke 21 and 22. Luke 21 and 22. That's what He spoke to me. Those two different times. One right after Luke 21, 22. And today I remember that verse. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. This was in 1975. I want to tell you this evening, I feel like the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. There are some conclusions that God has made and is making. And there is a set time that there's going to be there's a shaking, and there's a upheavals in the world. There is spiritual earthquakes, and there's all kinds of disasters. There's famines, there's wars, rumors of wars. Everything is coming to a head now. It's coming up to the peak. It's coming to the final time when He's going to say, time no more. Time no more. I've already drawn conclusions. I've taken samples from every part of the world. I've reached down and I've sent my angels down there, and they've witnessed that it is true. It is true what's happened. It is true what is going on. It's not something that I'm going to be guilty of making a wrong decision. If God could be guilty of anything, I don't think He could. But He wants to verify. And I believe He's dispatching angels all over the world. And they're taking samples. And they're looking in homes. They're coming by communities and passing by. They're going out on the beaches around the ocean. They're going down in the downtown slums. And they're listening to the groanings of people. They're watching things that are going underhanded in high places. They're visiting the White House. They're visiting every nook and corner of this world. I don't know if you've ever seen any of them or not. But I want to tell you, there's enough information in the Bible, and there's been enough times that people have seen angels that leads me to believe tonight that they're around. They're around. You may not just notice them. They may not appear to be any different than any other person. But they are there. They are around here. Folks, they're looking in our communities. They're coming down and walking the streets, and they're listening, and they're watching, and they're sending back reports to heaven. And God is coming to some worldwide conclusions. Not just in one little spot, one little Sodom and Gomorrah area. No, He's taking a sample from the big picture now. He's looking at the overall wickedness of man, and he's sampling and seeing, hey, what's going on now? It's true. And He's verifying it is true. And He's getting this report and this report over and over until all the information is sent in, and He's watching. Are there anybody out there that still fear God? Is there any people out there that in their private life, are they still true to me? Are they still close to me? Do they still love me? Are they still following me like they should? Do they still have that fervency? Or are they full of pride? Are they full of ill intent? Are they full of self? He's looking, folks, tonight. What's going on? You can't miss Him. You can't miss Him. There's no place that these angels can't go. They have jurisdiction. They have no restrictions. They can go anywhere. There's a little band of some Indians in Oklahoma that I seen one time fighting a fire. And these guys could literally go anywhere. There was no place that this little band of firefighting people couldn't go. There was no restrictions on these men could go anywhere and fight fire. They had no boundaries. There was a free... These guys... And they found some unique characteristics of fire. And they saw things. A 50-mile-an-hour wind in December was whipping up and on this dry grass and going in trees. And there was natures of fire they hadn't seen before. But what struck me was they had no boundaries. I want to say to us this evening, angels have no boundaries either. They can come and they can walk through. They can appear just as normal people. Or they can do whatever they please. But they're out on a mission. God has dispatched them to get samples. Because He's coming to some final conclusions. And they're walking and they're looking around. They're coming, folks, and they're taking notice of what is going on. I have several scriptures here. You can read Luke 21:22, but I'm going to tell you that's what it says. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things that are written may be fulfilled. The fulfillment of everything is happening right here before us. We've made decisions. There's some that come to church and they've made decisions. There's some that come and they've made decisions. Nothing's going to touch me. I'll come, but I won't change. That's your decision. I can't change you. I can't do anything. You see what's in my hands? That's about how much I can help you. I don't have anything else to help you. You're making decisions. You come to some conclusions too. And what you conclude and what you come up with, it's many times set. And the Lord is looking. He's seeing how many hearts are truly set in their own ways. How many hearts are unpliable. They're unchangeable for the worse. I mean, I'm just not going to change. But He's looking on those two whose hearts are perfect toward Him. Who realize when they get a need in their life, they have a problem, they humble themselves down before God and they ask Him to help him. He realizes there's this mixture. Folks, I want to be in that number of people whose hearts are perfect toward God. Who, when God reveals something to them, they immediately obey. May the Lord bless us this evening. In the book of Genesis 19:1, we find that there were two angels that appeared. It says here, there came two angels to Sodom at even. Brave people. These angels, I'm telling you, they were sent from God. And there happened to be Lot, and he sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face toward the ground. He recognized these were dispatched. These were angels from God. He had enough left in him that he could realize he had enough of spirituality some way, somehow, though his righteous soul was vexed from day to day, that he could see these men were from God. These were angels, and he tried to protect them. It's kind of an odd thing thinking about a human protecting angels, but Lot was there, and he tried his best to protect them. And you know, they made a conclusion before the end of their trip. They made some conclusions, and they said, Father, it's as you have heard, in my own words. Father, this place is corrupt as you have heard and as you have seen. We have witnessed it with our eyes. We were attacked. We saw what was going on. The evil of the people's heart in this town, we saw it. They were dispatched to Sodom. And they came back with a conclusion. Angels, think about them. They're heavenly beings. They're something from heaven. They came here to a wicked place. And they looked around. There was two of them. There was undeniable evidence of what was happening. It was happening to them. Had they gotten out of there, had they not been the attempt to molest them, there might have been a different story about this place. But no, they both had the same report. This is evil place. Father, it's true. It's true. This is happening here in this place. I don't know this evening how many it takes to cover the world. But these same two will be responsible for the end of this world. The same two angels that went to Sodom will pay and has paid a visit to our country. They are going around. It's quite a thought to think of. He is coming to some conclusions, folks. He's not doing it without His mercy extended. He's not doing it with forewarning. But I want to say tonight what I feel in my heart, the burden that I have in my heart, that God is making some clear-cut decisions on what is going to happen. And there is being dispatched around. There's going to be angels. And whether these two, any of us will ever see, I doubt it, but whatever, we need to watch and be careful, because he is out on the prowl, and God is looking and seeing what's happening in our country today. Not just here in North America. No, He's visiting all over the world and coming back with these samples. Lord, here's what's happening in Africa. Here's what's going on in China. Here's what's happening in Honduras, in Mexico, in Argentina, in Brazil. All over the world, everything is being fed back. And Russia and Ukraine and Afghanistan and Syria and all these places, there's reports. Here they are. They're laid out before Him. Here it is. And He's examining each one. Same thing. You see what happened in the beginning that we just read about in Genesis? There was... the earth was filled with violence. Some of the same thing that is happening this evening. The earth is full of violence. These two angels, I picked up a few other things here that I want to share with you this evening. In the book of 2 Samuel 24 and 15, it's quite a long story. But we find after David's sin, there was only one angel. And he came through and he visited the people in one sweeping time. 70,000 people were destroyed at one time. And it says here, the 15th verse of 2 Samuel 24, "So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed. And there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, 'It's enough. Stay now thine hand.'" Stay your hand. Stop. It's enough. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah the Jebusite. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, "Lo, I've sinned. I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house." David saw him. David saw him. The death angel that came over the land of Egypt smote the eldest from every household that didn't have the blood applied to the doorpost. Angels are intelligent beings. They knew the oldest in every household. They knew what the blood looked like. And they went. It didn't take them hours and hours. The matter is sweeping by. And it was done. It's not something you think of angels, you know, they're not slow. It's not something like, yeah, it takes some time that we travel. No, it's not like that at all. These people, they're of God. They know what's going on. Conclusion's already been made. God dispatched them. And with this angel here that David saw, he just cried to the Lord, "Lord, let these are sheep dying. Let that be upon me. Don't kill any more of them." And the Lord stopped him. "Don't do any more." You notice here he said, "Don't lift up your hand." It wasn't like he had or needed both hands. There was something so powerful this angel was able to do that people by the thousands fell over dead. I want to say tonight we get accustomed, and sometimes maybe we get a little bit dull in our senses, and we forget about the power of God, and we don't really understand His workings. But I really believe God wants to stir our hearts and help us this evening to be keenly aware of His power, keenly aware of what is going on around us. That we're not caught unawares, that we're caught in a place we're not prepared. We're not ready. Folks, God wants to stir our hearts. We're living in a time, if we're not careful, we'll be rocked to sleep. We'll be just swayed. We'll be caught up with so many things. The world's got so many attractions and so many things to keep your mind busy. Games and playing and all this and there. It's just happening and it dulls our senses. God wants to help us tonight. David saw the angel. I'm not sure, again, any of us will ever see this, but David did. There's another scripture here I'd like to read to you in the book of Luke. I was thinking of this evening and it came to my mind, and God help us tonight. I believe that He wants to stir our hearts this evening, that what we have going around us, there's things that's happening and going on. I remember one night that I had started to work at a Safeway grocery store, pretty rough part of the town I was in, and I was over there checking out, and I was just, the doors was closing, the lights was going off, and this man came in right there by me and had a gun and pulled it on Bob Randolph. He was a deputy. He was working a part-time at that store, and big fella, big man. Went up and pulled the gun, put it in his face, got him and went to the assistant manager, got Bill, and herded them both just right next to me. The place where the office was just right there, and it was an open office. And he, right there, within a few feet of me, I had no idea what was going on. Nobody said anything. It was just deathly quiet. I was checking these people out, and nobody knew what was happening. They didn't see it. I didn't see it. And just a few feet from me, here was these two men. Their lives were in danger. So he got him to open the safe. He got the money and ran out the door. And that's when I noticed we were being robbed. So quiet. So, there could have been people killed right there. And I didn't even know it. Do you realize this evening, I'm not trying to make us have paranoia and be afraid of everything and every little bush that rattles and things. But I'm just saying there is something that's going on. There's something happening. These worldwide conclusions that God is making is something real. Yes. And it's something He has in His mind. He's making up His mind. He's coming to some points of, we're going to have, it's time to do something. Yes. And of all people this evening that need to be ready, it's God's people. Of anybody that needs to know what's happening around them, it's us. And God doesn't want us to be caught unprepared. To be caught without, and all these things going on around us and we didn't know nothing about it. No, I believe in these meetings like this. God comes by and He says, "All right, I spoke to you about a little thing in your life. It's small, but I've spoken to you about it. I want you to be give heed to that and don't let that go on. Stop it. Before it gets going very big, stop the thing. Nip it in the bud. Don't let it grow. It'll get bigger and bigger. God is faithful. I still believe we have a faithful Creator. I believe tonight God wants us to be aware of our surroundings and what is happening. What is happening and going on. Have you ever walked outside and just there was something around? I remember a good friend of mine that he was walking to his truck one night. He's a truck driver. And he said, "I got up next to my truck and," he said, "I just felt there was something wrong." And he said, I walked up slowly, and as I got up to my close to my truck, I looked behind my cab and I saw these 2 feet. And there was a person that was ready to attack him. And he caught them and surprised them before they surprised him. But do you feel this evening there's just something in the air? Do you feel like tonight a heaviness? Do you feel like there's just something pending? There's something that's just about to come out. It's because God has made some conclusions. And He's determined. And He's looking at everything. These samples He's taking. I'm telling you, He's taking samples tonight. And He's looking and He's seeing, have I got a few people left that are faithful to me that's going to keep their attitude and their heart and everything right before me? They're going to watch their steps. God's paying us a visit, folks. He wants to speak to our hearts tonight. This 47th verse said in Luke 12 and 47, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Responsibility. Knowledge is responsibility. And this evening God is monitoring what knowledge and information we have and what we have done with that information and what we are willing to do with it. He's monitoring us and He's looking and He's saying, "Are you going to be faithful to me? You know what my will is. You know that I'm not hard to deal with. I'm not a hard person to live for. You know that I'm merciful. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." You know those things. How will you respond to my dealings? Because I'm taking samples from all saved and the unsaved. He's looking at our attitudes. He's looking at us. I want to say to us tonight, let's not forget to have a servant's heart. A servant's heart. A servant is meant to serve. He's looking for servants tonight that will serve Him willingly, faithfully, diligently, without recognition, without the praise of men. He's looking for people and men and women to serve Him and do His will in adverse circumstances, in caustic situations, in all kinds of depravity, in every kind of situation. God's just looking for that faithfulness and our readiness to keep close to Him. I want to encourage your hearts tonight. Do His will. If you know it, do it. If we know it, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But if you know it, do it. Lord, help us tonight. We need His blessings. We need His presence. We need Him to help us to stay on the straight and narrow way. We need Him to guide us in this little world that's full of corruption and sin. And every side we look, there's just stuff going down all the time. God, help us to keep our eyes on Him. Because He's looking at the attitude of our hearts. It says here, they knew His will and didn't prepare. Let's look in the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter. Again, here's a scripture. I'll try to hurry through here. Matthew 25. And 10, 25 and 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. They that were ready. They that were ready. It's times like these that we prepare and we become ready. It's times when the Lord passes by our way and He speaks to our hearts that we make ready. We take care of those little things. We take care of the things that we know we should do. You know you should do them and you're not doing them. I want to say you're in a miserable place tonight. You know you should and you're not doing it. It's just misery. It's no fun. It gets old after a while and pretty soon it just weighs you down. What is exciting is when we know the Lord's will and we're doing it. It gives you security. It gives you peace in your heart. You can lay down at night on your bed and you can sleep because you know you've done the Lord's will. You've done what was right. It's when you're always tossing back and forth and you're not certain what to do. And you find this little happy medium and you try working out your own salvation, but it's not with fear and trembling that brings heaviness. Folks, that's not preparation. Preparation is knowing and doing. It's acting upon it. It's becoming responsible. You are saying, I will take responsibility for my actions and what I do and say. It's not blaming other people. People go through life with a couple of old suitcases, guilt and blame. And they walk through with them. God help us tonight. I've carried a few of those, but you know what? Guilt and blame gets so heavy after a while, it just breaks you all down. You can't stand it, but I've seen it work so many times. People have come into a situation with guilt and blame. And they say, if it wasn't because of the way my dad raised me and what he did to me, I'd be a better person. That old guilt and blame runs out after a while and God's tired. He's saying, listen, you be ready. You know what my will is. I want you to do it. Stop carrying those old suitcases anyway. They stink. It's not a good odor coming from them. Because every time you feel a little guilt, come on, you want to blame somebody for it. Time to stop that. Take responsibility for your actions. I'll do the same. And I believe God will bless our souls. I believe He'll help us to be ready. He said here when He came, there were some that they were ready. They went in with Him to the marriage and He said the door was shut. Our supply of grace and strength, folks, relies on acting quickly. If the door is shut and the opportunity ceases, we have no... we're caught. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. The man that robbed those two, the assistant manager and the deputy that was the security guard, they eventually got caught. And so will we. We want to take... when that door of opportunity cracks open a little bit, God wants us to be there waiting. Especially if we've had a hard time communicating with Him and if we've had a hard time in life of being stable and being a stable person, when the little doors open just for a moment, it's time for us to seek and go. Get in before it's too late. Just like the man that was waiting there for years for that pool. And the Lord came by and said, what are you doing here? And I said, I've been waiting here a long time, but I'm kind of crippled up. Every time that angel comes by and stirs that water up, somebody beats me to it. He said, take up your bed and walk. What greater thing this evening? Don't just wait for a camp meeting. Don't just wait for this certain little time when all my family comes and all of us parade down to the altar. I've never seen that happen in my lifetime where a whole family at once was saved. I hope you have. I hope you can say, I have. But what I have seen is one from a family. A family of people that's been unstable. A family of people that have not lived for the Lord. They've been up and down and just here and there and who knows where. And I'll see one person just like my mom. One person of a family of four children. She made her way to an altar and started praying and seeking God. After seeing her mom died, and then moved in with her grandma, and their house burned down, and then her sister was unconscious, was in a bad wreck, and a long, long story. I can't even share it all with you. But here was one person out of a family that sought the Lord. And I'm here tonight because of that. Do you know this evening, God is looking for that one in a family. That one person that'll just make a difference. That one person that'll just hang in there and be stable. Keep on coming. Let the family go to the ball games. Let the family play around and keep going. I don't wish it on them, but this happens so many times. And that one little woman, she'll keep coming to church. Her husband won't come with her. He'll stay at home and watch television and drink and all kinds of things and run around. And here she'll come. And she'll sit there in church and her soul will get fed. Oh, don't you know one of these days, God looks down upon that trail, that little old woman that made her way to an altar of prayer and stayed faithful. And He's going to say to her, come home. Get your reward. You've been faithful. I've watched you all your life. I've seen all those things you sewed for people. I've watched all the clothes you've washed. I've watched you wash clothes. I've watched you iron. I've watched you do little things to help. Don't you know God one of these days is going to take that little precious soul home? He's looking tonight. I'm telling you, He's watching families. He's seeing how interested you are in staying true to the Lord. Your family comes by. You still dress in that old holy way? You still with them people? You still with them? I've heard that. I've seen that. I know that happens. The sarcasm. I've watched that and the harsh words they say to those people that leave and don't party with them anymore. I've seen that and heard it. You know, I've watched that faithfulness through the years and I've seen to the dying day the testimony of forgiveness. I have nothing toward you. I don't care anything toward you. I love you. I'm going home. Do the best you can, you know. The grace of God is real tonight. He is going to bless our souls, folks, if we're faithful to Him. And He's concluded too, I still got a people and they're in my hand. And they're going through all kinds of trouble and tribulation, but I'm still holding them right here. And I'm going to keep on to them. They're not, nobody going to take them out of my hand. No man can get them out of my hand. I've got a little flock of people and God is taking care of those people tonight. He's blessing His children. He's blessing His church. And He'll continue to do that. May the Lord help us tonight when the saints go marching in. I want to be one of them. I want to be one of that number. The Lord woke me up this morning. I had that song, He Keeps Me Singing. He keeps me singing. There's within my heart a melody. I can't think of all the words now, but the main part was He keeps me singing as I go. Jesus, 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 precious, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing. And He keeps me singing as I go. Oh, thank God tonight. Luke 1 and 17, and I'll be done. I want to say to you this evening, take all the time you want to get right with God. But you better be careful. You better be careful, because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. And the time you're clicking off in your mind, I'll wait till another day. I'll wait. Oh, it's just not quite right. Oh, it's just not quite right. I can't stir myself up. I just want to do a few more things. It makes me feel so good. Listen. Give up those things that are debatable, questionable, and they bring pleasure for a few moments or a few... Forget it. We're looking about something eternal. We're talking about and looking at eternal things tonight. Not temporary things that pass away, but eternal things. Things that are real and they're lasting. You can hold on those old grudges all you want. But I'm telling you, those things only separate you from the people of God and from the love of God. They'll only drag you down. Oh, Lord, bless us this evening. The book of Luke 1 and 17, this scripture came to me this evening, and I was thinking about how beautiful it is. And He shall go before Him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. God wants to prepare us this evening. He wants to make us ready to meet Him. The shock of the judgment. The shock of it. All of a sudden, I'm standing with everything that I said and done in life by me. Everything. You think our computer system is so outstanding, but God has a way. Every individual, every hair of your head is numbered. Also, everything you've done, categorized, can play back in an instant of time, can play back everything, every moment, all of it can play it back to every individual. What you said, what you've done, what you didn't do, what you should have done, it all comes. And it doesn't take a long time. You know what Jesus spoke in the Bible? Said they came before the Lord, and He said that they asked Him, "Where's your wedding garment?" The man was what? Speechless. No arguing. That's me. I didn't have it on. Conclusions tonight. The end. Here it is. The end or the last part of the last division of a discourse, often containing a summary of what went before. The last step in the reasoning process. Judgment, decision, or opinion formed after investigation or thought. The last of a chain of events. The outcome, final arrangement. The closing of a plea or address to a court or jury. Listed, or lastly in doing, to come to a close. To finish. Remember this, God has the final word. And He is holding in His hand, even Jesus doesn't know the time that He's coming back. But He is holding in His hand tonight conclusions. He is holding that final last word. And I just wonder this evening, how many of us are really ready for that final judgment shock. It stirs my heart, folks. I think, oh Lord, we need You so much. This is serious business. You're not dealing with me. We're dealing with God. And we need to be ready. I want to encourage you tonight to give heed in this meeting. Whatever the Spirit of the Lord is directing you in, give heed to it. Pay good attention, close attention, because He has an outcome. He is seeing and has something good for your end. He knows what you need in your spiritual life, and He's trying to help you to come alive, and He's trying to help you to stay alive. Come out of your shells, to come out of all kinds of darkness. Lay everything out on the table. Put it all out there. Because we're dealing with God. He's seeing it anyway. May the Lord bless us tonight. Let's be ready to meet the Lord. Amen.